Pretty good, huh? Pretty good. Hey, give it up for this team. They did a great job. Doing a great job today. Awesome job. You know, it's amazing watching how God has brought his church together. And, you know, one thing about RCC, when you look at our history, is we've had plans, but God has always seemed to trump those plans and do even better, bigger things we ever dreamed. Hey, I want to ask a quick question, kind of figure out my group here real quick. How many of you guys would say you're planners? Raise your hand if you say you're a planner. Like, you like to plan things out and you like schedule things out. I know what I'm doing in 6 months. You know, you're a planner, okay? Like, you bought your Christmas gifts in July. You know what I'm saying? Like, those kind of people. All right, how many of you guys on the flip side of that? You're kind of last minute people. You're kind of, you know, all of a sudden, like, it's, you know, you're still Christmas shopping right now. You're actually hitting Amazon right now. Raise your hand. Jesus loves you too, all right? Just want you to know. So some of us, you know, we're planners, and some of us are kind of last-minute people, but the bottom line is we all have expectations about the future. We all have ideas about how we see things going next, but then there's oftentimes a change of plans. And if you are experiencing a change of plans right now, I want to talk to you this afternoon real quick about how God may be working in your life in unexpected ways. Some of us are where we didn't expect to be this Christmas. You know, we saved up, we try our best financially to do things right, but all of a sudden that car broke down and we're trying to figure out how do I pay this bill and plus buy Christmas gifts on top of that. Some of us are in situations medically that we didn't see ourselves in this time of year, in this stage of our life. And these change of plans happen. Some of us, we have kind of the empty chair happening. There's somebody in our life that we thought was going to be with us this Christmas, but they're not. It could be because of a conflict, or they just couldn't come, or maybe a death even. You know, it's just amazing how the season can really hit on the idea that we had expectations, but yet we're not where we thought we'd be because of the change of plans. And today we're going to talk about that. We look at two people, and the two people's names are Mary and Joseph. They are the parents of Jesus, the earthly parents. And if you look at their life, you'll see that things unexpected happen in their way. And oftentimes when unexpected things, a change of plans happens in our life, we have our faith rattled, right? I mean, we're just like, I didn't see this coming. Where are you, God, is the other question that comes to mind. And so today we look at Mary and Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, and we see what happens in their life. And, you know, in the Gospels, we only see the highlights of Mary and Joseph. We don't see a lot of the details. Like, for instance, if I asked you, hey, what were the highlights of 2022 in your life? You would give me probably 3 points, you know, some big things, but there'd be a lot of details that you would leave out, right? I would hear the highlights, but I wouldn't know the details. That's kind of how it is with Mary and Joseph. Like, we know the highlights, but not the details. Like, one of the questions I always ask if you come to my house, you and your wife or whoever, I'll ask, well, how did you guys meet? Like, we don't know how Mary and Joseph met. So today, I want you to kind of put your imagination caps on, because that's what Christmas, you know, kind of does to us. We start, you know, thinking, imagining things, dreaming things we wouldn't normally dream of. But put your imagination caps on just for a moment with me as we kind of look at how did Mary and Joseph meet? Like, how did these two worlds come together? Mary is someone we know that always sought to honor God, even as a young person. And so I could see her going on a Sunday night, like what we have in our church. We have a college group that meets every Sunday night. Amazing group of people, and it continues to grow. We even have something for students, for teenagers, 7th through 12th grade, called Reach, every Sunday night. We have a phenomenal student pastor who leads that. And then we have 5-6 ministry for 5th and 6th graders that meets every Sunday at 10 o'clock and 11:30. So if you have a 5th or 6th grader, get them there. We also have incredible kids ministry that Maureen and Julie and JB and Kaylee are leading. It's phenomenal. But once again, Mary is a young person. I know that she's being around godly people. She's studying the Word of God because she wants to know God more and more. So she goes to this Bible study on Sunday night, and next thing you know it, she sees a guy teaching that she's never saw teach before, heard teach before. His name's Joey. And she's hearing Joey teach out of Isaiah, talking about the prophecy about a Messiah that who is to come, who is going to change the world. We see that in Isaiah chapter 6, among other scriptures in Isaiah. And he's preaching, and all of a sudden, Mary's trying to pay attention to what he's saying, but she just can't because he is so cute. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's just so cute. And she can't really pay attention because she's thinking, I want to talk to him afterward. And he wraps up, and she kind of works her way over towards Joey, and next thing you know, they're talking, and she finds out he's got a job, and which is totally different than the last guy she talked to who had no job, lived with his parents, and was addicted to Nintendo or something. You know, this guy, Joey, actually has a job, and he makes carpentry, and makes furniture as a carpenter, and he's got potential, right? And then next thing you know, they leave, and she's wondering, did he even notice me? And he leaves, and he's like, oh, yeah, he noticed her, and he's thinking about her, and he's praying, God, what's your will for this? And is this something you want me to go down a road? You want me a journey you want me to take? And then they go back next week, and they're there, and they kind of build on top of it. Next thing you know, Joey kind of works up the nerve to invite her to coffee. And she's trying to figure out, is this like a friend coffee thing, or is this something else coffee thing, you know? And you've been there before. And then they go to Nazareth Coffee Shop, and they continue hitting it off together. And then one thing leads to another. And then every song you hear on the radio, like, every love song starts to make sense. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, he buys her a stuffed walrus, because that's what you do when you're into somebody. You buy them stuffed animals. And then next thing you know, he's buying the ring. And he gets his best bud with a long-distance lens to get that photo of him on his knees as a sunset is setting over them. And he proposes, and he says, will you marry me? And she says, absolutely. And they run off, and they go talk to their moms and their dads. And, you know, the mom starts planning the wedding, and she's a control freak, and she drives everybody crazy. I mean, these are real people. And we don't know all the details, but something like that might have happened in their lives. And we don't know exactly all the details, but we know what happened next is they make plans, because that's what couples do, right? When you're in love, you start making plans. And when you're crazy about each other and you get engaged, that's what happened to me and my wife. Like, we started making plans. We go, where are we going to live? And, you know, what place are we going to live? Like, are we going to live in an apartment? We're going to live in a townhouse? We're going to live in a house? We're going to live with your parents? Like, how is this going to happen? They're making those plans. They're trying to figure out, you know, how many kids are we going to have? Are we going to have two? Are we going to have six? What is it? And I can see them like, hey, let's have a boy first, and we'll call him Blade, and we'll have a daughter next and call her Hilga. I mean, I don't know what they were doing, but they were coming up with all kinds of plans until Mary's by herself. And Mary stands there, and then an angel appears before her, and he says to Mary, you are the chosen one. And she's like, me? Me? Yeah, you. You're the chosen one. You are going to give birth to a son. And Mary's like, well, that makes sense, because me and Joey were talking about having kids and we were going to have a son. That was kind of part of our plan. He's like, no, that's not what I'm talking about here. You're going to have a son, and you will conceive by the Holy Spirit. What? That's not part of the plan. What do you mean? And you see this young girl who's trying to process all that. She loves God, and she loves Joseph, and she wants to honor the Lord and that relationship. And now she's going to have a baby conceived by the Holy Spirit. Like, how do you comprehend that at any age? But then what happens next, you know, there's excitement, because she's like, God's going to change the world through me. God's going to change the world through me and Joseph. And so she's excited. She can't wait to go tell Joseph about all that happened, right? I mean, this is amazing. God's going to do incredible things through us, Joseph. Now, let's just go ahead and take a vote real quick. All right, you got two options, excited or freaking out. All right, that's your two options. How many of you guys think that Joseph would be really excited that Mary's pregnant with the Holy Spirit? Raise your hand if you think he's really excited about that. How many of you guys think that Joseph is going to be freaking out when he hears that his fiance is pregnant? All right, he's freaking out. He's a real person. You know what real dudes do when this happens? Where is he? I'll kill him. Where's the Holy Spirit? Like, you know, you're like, you don't know. You know, this is just so overwhelming as we look into verses 18 and 19. And the polite way of saying this is that everything kind of hits the fan right here in Matthew 1, 18 and 19. Look what happens. This is how the birth of Jesus Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, because they had a plan, right? They had a plan. She was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. And we don't know all the details, but we know this about Joseph. He's hurt. He's angry. And look what happens next in verse 19. He says this, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He's trying to do the right thing here. He had in his mind to what? Divorce her quietly. We do know this. We know that Joseph is disheartened. We know he's frustrated. We know he's bewildered. We know he's crushed. He's humiliated. He's devastated. He is heartbroken. I mean, just the public humiliation alone, right? I mean, he has made reservations at the Grace Chapel Inn, right? And those are now worthless. Invitations have gone out about the wedding. He's got to talk to his mom. He's got to talk to his dad about what's going on with his fiance. He's got to tell his friends. Public humiliation like you could not imagine. But not only that, he trusted her. I mean, he's crushed that he felt like God put them together, and now she's cheated on him. I mean, he has saved himself for marriage, and now his fiance, who he thought God put together with him, has lied to him, has cheated on him. And he's torn, he's mad, he's upset. And it says in Scripture that he had in mind to divorce her quietly. And right now, some of you are going, well, that doesn't make any sense because they're engaged. How can you divorce someone when you're engaged to them? Well, this is how it works. Back then, when you got engaged, the only way you could break off that engagement was by an official divorce. And so what Joseph has done, he has tried to serve the Lord, and that's all led to this divorce. This is not what he had planned. That's Joseph. What about Mary? Mary has sought to serve the Lord herself. In fact, when God brought this proposal to her out of the clear blue sky, out of nowhere, she says, I'm all in. Look what it says in Luke chapter 1, verse 38. Look what it says, church. It says, may your word to me be fulfilled. What does that mean? She is saying yes to God. God, this is what your will is for me. I will do it. I'm all in. But now her husband's leaving her. Her life is totally over. She's pregnant without a husband. In this culture, that's bad, I guess. But in that culture, man, you have no shot. You're not going to get any support. She's going to raise a child begging on the streets. And somehow she's got to provide for herself and this kid when everybody else is just pushing her away. Can you imagine the rumors? And you know what she's thinking. Here's what she's thinking. This is not what I had planned. God, I was trying to follow you, right? God, I was trying to honor you, and this is not fair. Why would you allow this to happen to me? This is not what I had planned. And here's the honest truth. There's many of you in the room right now that are asking the exact same question. God, where are you? This is not what I had planned right now. This is not what I expected to happen to me. I tried to do everything I could with my finances, and now I'm in this situation. I have poured into these kids. I have watched over them. I have protected them. I have provided for them. I have taken them to all the teacher conferences and all the soccer games. And I've just done everything I could for them. And now they're making these choices. This is not what I had planned for my life and my family. Some of you feel like that in your marriage. You feel like your marriage is stale and you didn't expect that to be happening right now. Some of us are separated in this time of year, or a health or a job situation. And this is not what you had planned. Tonight, I'm going to give you one thought, just one thought, as we wrap up about those of us who are going through a change of plans right now. And here's the thought, and I hope it bores into your soul. Here it is. And that is, you don't have to understand the plan to trust that God has a purpose. Amen? You don't have to understand the plan to trust that God has a purpose. I want you to feel this. I want you to believe this. So say it with me on the count of three. Ready? One, two, three. You don't have to understand the plan to trust that God has a purpose. Because we all have plans. In fact, Scripture talks about that in Proverbs chapter 19 when it says these words. Many are the what? Plans in a person's heart. You got plans. I got plans. But it is the Lord's what? It is the Lord's purpose that prevails. You don't have to understand the plan to trust that God has a purpose for you and your family. Mary and Joseph, their plans have been wrecked. Their plans have been shattered. And Moses Joseph is trying to figure out what to do next. And look what it says in Scripture in verse 20. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." And you know, Joseph is like, "What? Wait. Are you telling me that what Mary said is true?" And the angel's like, "Yes. Yes, this is true." And then look what happens next. The angel goes on and says, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will." Now look at this. Here's the purpose. Here's why all your plans have been wrecked. Here's the purpose, Joseph. Here it is. Read it with me, church. He will what? Say it with me. Save his people from their sins. You can only imagine Joseph going, "Okay, the last thing I ever wanted to happen in my life is exactly what God wanted to happen, that somehow in the midst of all this pain, a purpose is coming out of it." Like, that's what you're saying? And I can imagine him just kind of processing this. You don't have to understand the plan to trust that God has a purpose. Let me unpack this for you in just kind of my own life. Years ago, I'm in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm pastoring a church there, and everything is going great. Church is growing, we're adding services, and it's just going beyond what we expected. And I had dreams, I had plans. Plans were my whole family was going to move out to Arizona, and you know, I was going to bring parents and grandparents, and we're all going to reside there and be a part of this growing church, and that was the plan. But then something devastating happened in our family's life in Florida, and all of a sudden a change of plans took place. And I sat on it and prayed about it for a year, and then I knew that God was calling us to be back on the East Coast, be closer to family. They weren't going to come all the way over to Arizona, you know, with us, and so it was time for us to come back home. Well, I was looking at churches all over the East Coast, great churches in Ohio, Virginia, several churches right here in Florida. There was one church that I got contacted about that was meeting in a funeral home. Funeral home, 80 people having church. And it was called RCC. Maybe you've heard of it. RCC, River Christian Church. Maybe you've heard of it. And I was thinking to myself, I'm not going there, because that's not on my plans. I mean, what pastor dreams of, "Hey, I want to preach at a funeral home"? That's a great idea. Nobody plans on that. But I started talking to them and found out that they love Jesus, they love the Word of God, and they love the fact that there could be a community focus and impact because of Jesus. And next thing you know it, I started talking to them. That was not my plans. And then next thing you know it, they offered me the job, which is probably not part of their plans. And then we're moving our family mid-school year. And if you're a parent, you know that's like the worst time to ever move your kids. That was not part of our plans. And all of a sudden we show up, this church, 80 people in funeral home, and then we go to a dance studio. We thought, you know what, we'll be there for years. That was our plans. And God kept bringing more and more and more people to hear about Jesus. And next thing you know, we're like, we got to do something different. We got to change our plans. And then we started looking at property. In the midst of all that, our building flooded, and we had to move to a school for a while. That was not a planned thing. And then God kept growing his church. And then we didn't have any idea we could ever be a part of something this big, or this kind of campus, with this location. But God had different plans. And here we are. And over 5 years, it hasn't been quite 5 years, it'll be 5 years starting January 1st, 5 years I will have been with RCC, and we have grown from 80 people in a funeral home to now we have almost every single week over 1,300 people who come to hear about Jesus every week. Isn't that awesome? 80 to 1,300 in 5 years. And I say all that because here's the thing, and this is the truth, and that is oftentimes God does amazing things when things don't go according to our plans. In fact, we praise him because things don't go exactly to our plans. God interrupts our plans and brings out a different purpose because plans have been changed. hundreds and thousands of people have been fed and been ministered to, and people have homes reunited, and people are getting help in the most desperate situations. We have hundreds and hundreds of people baptized right there in that baptistry right there, all because things didn't go according to our plans. See, God interrupts us at times, and I know it's confusing, and I know you don't understand it, and I know that you're hurting in the middle of it. Believe me, I totally get that. But then God will pull you aside at moments, and you might say to God, God, I never choose it. God, I never want to go through that again. But thank you so much for using it. Thank you for using it for your glory and to spread your kingdom and saving people. You don't have to understand the plan to trust that God has a purpose. Mary and Joseph, they never would have dreamed they're going to have the Son of God. And they probably thought everything's going to go great. It's going to go easy, like a heavenly epidural will happen, right? I mean, you just sneeze and the baby pops out. That's not what happened. They gave birth in a terrible place, in a barn. And then a King Herod tried to kill the baby. They had to run off to Egypt. And then 33 years later, this baby grew up to be an amazing man. Actually, the greatest man ever. The Son of God, the Messiah that the whole world had been waiting on. And what happened at 33 years of age, Mary watched her son at 33 get lifted up on a cross and died the most humiliating and painful way that someone could be murdered. That was not what she nor Joseph had planned. But God had a purpose. And the question is what was that purpose? And here's the answer. It was you. You were that purpose. See, people say that Jesus is the reason for the season, and I agree with that, but I want to take it to the next step. If you ask God what the reason for the season is, from his heart, he would say this, it was you. God so loved the world, which is you and me, that he gave his son so that we could have eternal life. You see, God stripped himself of all righteousness, stripped himself of all glory, and he came in the form of a baby, Emmanuel, God with us. And that baby grew up to be the perfect sacrifice for you and for me. See, here's the thing. You and I have made some stupid decisions. We've decided that it's all about us and not about God, and we've done some stupid things. I don't care who you are. If I hang out with you 5 minutes, I can figure it out pretty quick. All of us have sinned. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. And we deserve the greatest punishment of all. But God and his purpose and his plan was this, was to die for you so that you could be with him. That's the purpose, so that Jesus would save his people, includes you and me, from our sins. He came and he died on a cross, and 3 days later, he rose out of a grave. Why? He wanted you to know, no matter what you've done, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what dark past you have or what's been done to you, no matter who you are, any one of us can call on the name of Jesus Christ and be saved. Amen. And you can have that experience right here, right now. That's the purpose of Christmas, is to save you from your sins. So will you stand with me? Will you please stand? And I want to give you an opportunity to accept the greatest gift of all. One Christmas many years ago, I gave my life to Christ. And I was baptized. And that was the best Christmas I've ever had. And Jesus is saying right now, you can have that experience right now. So I want to give you an opportunity to confess that Jesus is Lord of your life. And you have an opportunity to get baptized. There'll be people up here afterward that love to talk to you. Man, we'll do it right here, right now. And I tell you what, it'll be, like I said, the best Christmas for you and your family. But let me pray over you. Get an opportunity right now to come to Christ. And maybe you've been away from him. And maybe you want to pray this prayer with me. Let's go to God in prayer right now. Father, we come before you. And Lord, we thank you so much that you are indeed crazy about us. God, at times we had not been crazy about you. Lord, we were sometimes never really thinking about you, but God, you never stop thinking about us. So God, right now, if we want to give our life to Jesus right now, recommit our life to Jesus, we just say to you right now, Father, I'm desperate. God, I'm a sinner, and I need my sins cleansed right here, right now. So, Lord, I receive your forgiveness through Jesus. I confess right now that Jesus is my Lord and he is my Savior. And Father God, I follow you all the days of my life. Thank you so much for forgiving me for all sin, for all time, and for accepting me and sending Jesus for me. Lord, thank you for loving me the way you do. Father, I thank you so much for those who are praying that prayer right now. And Lord, I pray they know that you're here, right here with them, not based on what they have done, but based on what you have done for them through Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you so much for coming to us, for us being your purpose. Lord, it's mind-blowing. Thank you so much, God, for your love. We celebrate that this Christmas. We pray this in Jesus' name. The whole church said, amen. We see in Scripture that it says that light came into the world, and that light was Jesus Christ. It was one light, and that light was passed on from one person to the next person. Jesus came and then impacted Mary's life, Joseph's life. On top of that, he impacted the Magi. Remember the Magi, the wise men and the shepherds? And one person was impacted by Jesus, and then they impacted the next person and the next person and the next person. And that's why you're in this room. That's why you're listening right now online, because someone passed the light of Jesus to you. And now it's our job to pass the light of Jesus to someone else. And so we're about to sing Silent Night together, and I pray that you realize that your job is to pass that light, the light of the world, as we see in Scripture. And here's a beautiful thing. Scripture says that darkness cannot overcome it. So maybe right now you want to pray for whatever area of your life that you need more light in, maybe more light in your home as we sing this song together. So let's draw close to Jesus and each other as we sing Silent Night right now.